Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we come your way every Sunday. Bring your camera. Nah, that won't do you any good. At 7 a.m. or 7 p.m. Monday mornings at 1 a.m. Streaming live at richarddugan.com. Also archiving at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. And we also link to our guests. We'll give you that website shortly because it's going to be something you are definitely going to want to check out. And it's exciting because we have a special event that's going to be coming up, and we're going to tell you about that as well here on Tell Me Your Story. Now, this sounds more like a promotion for a movie, just the way this is phrased. So in my best imitation of Don LaFontaine, in a world where there's one bus, two guys in 50 states, and 1 million dreams, whatever that was, we have on the phone, we have a couple of gentlemen who have written a book, a couple of books, but this one in particular, it's ULA, Find Balance in an Unbalanced World, and in this case, it's for women, and we're going to talk about that. Especially considering the fact that two guys have written this book. Dave and Troy, one is the guru and one is the seeker. I was thinking, gentlemen, and first of all, welcome to our program, that you've got the followed and the follower. Welcome to
Tell
Me Your
Story. Richard. Nice to chat with you.
And thank you so much for, like, the best introduction ever.
No.
We need to hire you to go on the road with us.
Well, I'd be more than happy to do so. I really would love to. I'm wanting to take this radio program on the road myself and share with people all of the things that are going on. And you guys are doing the very thing in a very literal, well, yeah, I was in a very literal way. A very real way that we're doing on this radio program in our way, and that is that you are helping people to focus on what it is that they really want. And when we say what you really want, it isn't necessarily $1 million. And I have to say that I saw one of the videos on YouTube, and I think one of the greatest stories was you guys pulled into a gas station. And this guy saw your bus, and he came over, and you explained, and he filled out the little sticker we're going to talk about. But tell me the rest of the story there.
Yeah, we were actually, we've taken this bus, this 1970s vintage surf bus, and we had this crazy idea of, instead of speaking on stages, which we do, and going to venues and social media, we thought, let's go meet people where they are. At gas stations and coffee shops and parks and beaches, and let's just talk to them and see if we can reconnect them to their dreams. And that's our vision of changing the world, is getting everyone to become a better version of themselves, and that will naturally inspire others. The case you're talking about, I remember it well. We were in, at this point at the time, we were in the northeast part of the country, rolling around in this bus, and we roll up to a gas station, and this guy comes up. And he, you know, he's a hardworking guy. He's in a work uniform, sweaty from a day's work. And he goes, this bus is so cool, guys. What is this about? And we're like, hey, we're just going around the country collecting dreams. What's a dream you have for your life? And we explain, which I'm sure we'll talk about, that there's seven key areas of life that we're all balancing, trying to balance, whether it's our family, our career, our health. So we talked to him about the areas. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to pick a fun sticker. So we grabbed him a blue fun sticker. And he wrote, I want to have more fun in life. And he smiled and slapped his sticker on our bus and went on his way. We finished gassing up, and we get a few miles up the road. And in that 70s bus, we don't go too fast. So all of a sudden, we see this truck approaching us, like, aggressively from behind. And we're like, what's going on? And he flashed his lights to pull over. We pulled over, and it's the same guy. And this time, not smiling, but more somber. And he goes, you know what? I've been thinking about this, guys, and I want to change my goal. And we're like, sure, what do you want? He goes, give me a family sticker, which is an orange sticker. And we handed him an orange sticker and a Sharpie, and he wrote on that sticker, I want to be a better dad for my daughter.
Mm.
And this happens all the time, where, you know, people see the bus, they laugh, they think it's cool. But then when they really get, what they do is it causes them to pause and think about what they want for their life. And in his case, he was a, it was a, split up from the baby's mom, and he's like, you know what, I just haven't been there for my daughter. And I'm like, you know what, if we leave that gas station, and that guy's going to go home and be a better dad for a while.
Yeah.
And that's really what it's about, is challenging people to reconnect to their dreams and become a better version of themselves.
Well, I have to say that, first of all, I find it really intriguing that you remember the color of the stickers that you gave him.
Oh, because, yeah, everything's color-coded in Ula, so we have 7Fs in every color. Like, fitness is red, and money is green, and, yeah, we've been doing this a while.
Well, I envy you your journey, because my wife and I, we took a short week's vacation, traveled up to Yosemite, Nevada City, a place called Ananda Village up in Northern California, and then came home, and that took, you know, 6 or 7 days, roughly. And I got to tell you, the one thing I said to myself and I told my wife, I says, the one thing we are not going to do is rush. We are going to take our time. There are going to be no timetables. We had destinations. We had reservations. Yes. But it was, I got to tell you, the most stress-free week that I have had in 10 years. And you guys, yes, you have your destinations. I know you have timetables because people are expecting you in this location and that and the other. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But I got to tell you, maybe we should go ahead and do away with Facebook and let's do a whole new kind of follow. Let's follow the ULA guys. Okay, let's start a parade. Okay, let's start a parade in California. You're going to be coming to California. We're going to talk about that. And then follow you all across the country, zigging and zagging through Idaho and North Dakota and then down to Texas and Oklahoma and Iowa and so on and so on. That, to me, that would be a great follow.
I'll tell you what, Richard, when we're going up a mountain, we do have a parade behind us because we're going about 45 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. Hey, let me tell you, I know about what you speak. My parents, and I was a family of eight, 6 kids, 2 parents, and one of the vehicles that we drove, and we used to go from Phoenix to Flagstaff quite often, and we even took vacations in this to the Grand Canyon, if I'm correct, in a 19, I'm going to say 68 or 70 Volkswagen bus. Now,
I will be doing that exact same trip in a 1970 VW bus on Saturday from Phoenix to Flagstaff. So you can relive it if you want to fly here and join us.
Well, the interesting thing was that when we were going up the mountain, there were times when we actually did have to pull off to the side of the road to let the engine cool. Never overheated, but, you know, my dad just knew that, you know, hey, it's going to take a little time. But I got to tell you, they were great vacations, and you guys are on a journey that is just incredible. You are, without question, inspiring people. But I'm curious as to this – but for, I guess, you know what, our listeners are sitting there going, what the heck is ULA? Could you tell us what ULA is, please? What is ULA, guys?
Yeah, ULA comes from the word ooh-la-la, and it's when your life is balanced and growing in the 7 key areas of life. And whether you know it or not, everyone listening right now, including you and me, we're all working on balancing these 7 areas. And they're your fitness, which is your health, finances, family, field, which is your career, faith, friends, and fun. And what happens is in life, we get so busy, so crazy busy. When you talk about like slowing life down, mm-hmm. when you're driving 55, 60 miles an hour in a VW bus, you're slowing life down and you get a lot of time to think and talk and hang out. But as soon as I get back home, I'm running around with kids and going to soccer practice and catching up on a dental appointment, an orthodontic appointment for my kids and just running. And you start to get caught up in the craziness and the chaos of life that even though you're still balancing these 7 areas of life, you don't take time out of your life to look at them. And really, in ULA, what we're saying is look at these 7 areas. You be you. You be unique to whatever your dreams and goals are. But look at these 7 areas and really intently live life in these 7 areas on what do you want for your fitness, your overall health. What do you want for your finances, your money, your debt, your giving, your saving? What do you want for your family life as a mother, father, as a husband, wife, as a daughter, as a son? What do you want for these areas? And then have a plan to live intently and go get that. So ULA is simply that. It comes with the word ULA, and it's a state of awesomeness when your life is balanced and growing in those 7 areas.
Well, now, one of you is, as referred to here, the ULA guru. The other is the ULA seeker. And interesting that you are, Dave, I mentioned this, a native of North Dakota.
Yeah.
And only because I had mentioned it earlier, and I hadn't even read this far along in that respect. And then, of course, you, Troy, are from Minnesota. And, you know, there no bones have been made about how the struggles emotionally and mentally that then affect our physicality over the last 2.5 years in this country. I don't think I need to say much more than that. And we have been searching for ways to de-stress, to be able to take that proverbial breath. In broadcasting, when I produce a commercial, and I did this by mistake many years ago and learned from it, I take the breaths out so that you don't sound breathy when the commercial comes across, right? It's nice and smooth. But I took all the breaths out, and then I squeezed everything together. And for 30 seconds, the person listening doesn't get a chance to breathe. So I started putting the spaces back. I took the breaths out, but I left the spaces so people's their minds could breathe. And that's what we're kind of looking for in our lives, is that space where we can take a breath and just, okay, everything's fine. I'm alive. I've got food. I've got clothing. I've got shelter. I've got family. You know, I just celebrated my parents' 61st wedding anniversary, back when I flew back to Phoenix. And, you know, it's just amazing, some of the things. As a matter of fact, I am going, I'm going to give this book to this particular one here, Ula, A Fine Balance in an Unbalanced World for Women. And you talk, of course, as you mentioned before, about these seven aspects, and then, of course, how to balance the seven key areas of life to have less stress, more purpose, and reveal the greatness within you. Do you find that the people you run across really... Because you're coming across just everyday people. You're not coming across, you know, politicians and Hollywood stars. You're just coming across people every day doing their thing, and they find themselves kind of stuck.
You know what's really interesting is when you peel one layer back, no matter who you run into, they're all doing the same thing. So if you're talking like a celebrity, or you're talking a politician, or you're talking the average everyday people that we run into at donut shops and coffee shops, when you really peel back or hand them a sticker and a Sharpie and say, what's your dream for your life in these seven areas? It's real interesting. They all do the same thing. And most people don't go, oh, I know exactly which dream I want to accomplish. That's very rare. It's most people think, and they look at these seven colored stickers that Dr. Troy talked about, you know, fitness being red and finance, and we have them laid out for them. And we're saying, what area do you want to work on the most in your life, and what's a goal? And it's the glossy eyed, no matter who they are. And a lot of times it's teary eyes because they really lost touch of that. And they haven't taken a breath in many, many years. And that's where all the stress is built up. They've totally drifted from their dreams they had 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And they find themselves living a life that's not congruent with what their dreams are. It's not even the life they want to live. Or if it is a life they want to live in their career, it's not the life they want to live in their family. Or their career is good and their family's good, but their finances are all messed up and they're heavily in debt or, you know, whatever they're going through. So that's the most unique and amazing thing about the bus. And the bus started with the book, the first book, Ula, Fine Balance, Unbalanced World. And we said to people on social media, you know, we started a social media account after the book came out a few years back. And we have over 1 million people following this Ula journey right now. And we said, what do you guys want? And we heard over and over, we want a 2-day event. And we heard over and over, we want a book specifically for women too, which we'll get to later mm-hmm. on in your show. But we said, what, you know, we're going to do this event, like a 2-day Ulapalooza in Vegas. That's where we used to meet. Dr. Troy and I, where Dr. Troy, the Ula guru, taught me the principles of Ula. And at this event, we had people do that exact same thing. At the end of the 2-day event, come across the stage, we were holding a surfboard, and we had them write on a sticker what they wanted, you know, what was the one thing that Ula won, the one thing that if they accomplished in their life will start changing for them. And that sparked the whole bus. That sparked everything because Troy said to me, he's like, you know, I don't, you know, it's cool that people fly into this amazing event and, and it sells out super quick. And he said, but let's, instead of people coming to us, let's go to people. Exactly like you said, let's take the show to people. And that's when you talk about just everyday, ordinary people. I'm from North Dakota, Troy's from Minnesota. I live in Utah right now. He lives in Phoenix. Just everyday people you deal with every single day, meeting them and handing them a Sharpie and a sticker. And it there's nothing better on the planet than to do that and just watch people start to think with their brain and start to go into their heart a little bit on what they want for their lives and reconnecting people to their dreams.
You guys have done something that I think is, you know, there's no question. It already is changing people's lives. That one guy, the story that we started at the top of the program, I would hope, you know, you were saying, you know, he'll be a great dad for a while. I hope it lasts longer than just a while. I know we all do. Again, we're all looking for that. I know that we're all looking for that quick fix that is flip the switch and life is better. Life is so much better. But it doesn't always work that way. I do find it also interesting, too, that your seven keys, if I am looking at the right chart here, they all start with F.
Yeah, there's seven F's of OOLA. So the cool thing about teaching OOLA, like a lot of people are just teaching it on their own and sharing it. And I think that's I think we touched upon a nerve when we wrote our first book, and you mentioned it, that as a society, the subtitle of our book is Fine Balance in an Unbalanced World. The values were encouraging, or just simple values of not just winning in business and money, which is important, it's clearly important, but also how about in your family life, and do you have time for fun, and where are you on your faith journey? And when we wrote the first book, we branded it the seven F's of OOLA. So just makes it easy to remember that there's seven areas, they all start with F, and it's fitness, finance, family, field, which is your career, faith, friends, and fun. And it's been real easy to teach, and they're all color-coded on stickers, and we even have fun little affirmation bands. If you're working on fitness that day, you wear a red band to remind you that you're working on fitness in this moment. And if you're at work, you put on a field or career band, and it reminds you to stay focused and present at work so your mind's not drifting to the I should be home. It's just living with intent consistently with the goals and dreams you have with your life. And you brought up a really great point, Richard, about this book, about we're just everyday dudes, because we really are. and even our book, the second book you're talking about, OOLA for Women, when social media was asking us, because women are the natural multitaskers, and we're doing a series of books, and we're like, what should be the next subset we work on? Like, and it was women. And it happened right. The inspiration for this book happened in your backyard, just either south or north of Santa Barbara. We, on the inaugural trip of this bus, we started in Coronado down in San Diego with our sons on an epic road trip. It was a beautiful blue bus. So if your fans go to OOLALife.com, they can see the bus now. It's a colored, it's seven layers thick in stickers. but what started in San Diego with a father-son trip, we went all the way up the PCH, all the way up to San Francisco. And when we got to Santa Barbara, our kids were tired. There's no air conditioning in the bus. It was sunset, and they said, hey, let's just cool off in the surf. So we pulled off at some state, beautiful state park like you have in Santa Barbara, and the boys were playing in the surf. And this story is actually in that book. But the boys were playing in the surf. Dave and I were just chilling by the bus. And at this point, the bus, it looked like it had chicken pox. It was speckled with dreams. It just was starting. This was the very start of this. We didn't even think it was anything significant. We just were having fun collecting dreams and stickers on our bus and just playing music, chilling. And there was a beautiful family down by the surf, a husband, wife, two daughters, with a professional photographer. They were all dressed up. We figured it was like a Christmas card shoot or something. Just they're beautiful, gorgeous family. And they come up to our bus, and like everyone, they're like, what's this bus all about? We're like, hey, we're just collecting dreams. We'd be honored to collect a dream from you. So she looked at the stickers, and she grabbed an orange one, which was family, and she put it on and slapped it on, and they left. Well, Dave and I, this was early enough in the process where Dave and I were curious. We went around and looked at the sticker, and it said, I want to be strong enough through my stage 4 cancer to see my girls become women. And we were speechless. Like, we're like, we didn't know what to do. And we all of a sudden realized that we got in the bus with the kids, and we were just quiet. The music was off. We were just Like, this is legit. Like, she has incredible strength that could inspire many women to work through any challenge they have. And then that got us thinking about all the different women that we've been able to chat with and meet as we're speaking at events, as we're collecting dreams, as we're crossing the country. And we started thinking of this gal in Lexington, Kentucky, who drove from Minnesota to hear us speak so she could get rid of a toxic friend. And then this other couple that finally had that conversation about their relationship that was hidden in order to put it on the table and deal with it so the relationship could heal. And we just started reaching out to these women and said, hey, instead of us telling our stories like we did in book one, we reached out to everyday women doing extraordinary things in life and overcoming the challenges to find more balance. And that was really how it started, like book two. These aren't women of access. These aren't women of privilege. These aren't celebrities. These aren't politicians. These are everyday women trying to multitask and balance these seven key areas every day and doing it with success.
I have to say that my parents and my mother in particular, raising six kids, first of all, I'm amazed that they survived, let alone that we survived, you know. But we had a lot of fun along the way. I also have to share with you real quickly, you said you started out down in San Diego, and of course there's the Coronado Bridge. And I remember one of my first road trips when I first started driving. And I didn't start driving until I was 38 due to visual issues. And there I find myself in San Diego, and I'm driving along, and I'm visiting a friend of mine, and I'm taking some time for myself. And there's the Coronado Bridge. I'm gonna go over that bridge. And I start heading up that bridge, and I'm driving this 1998 Chevy Metro with three cylinders. My brother used to call it my roller skate, and I used to tell people, because I'm living in Phoenix and all, two cylinders are used for the AC, the other one is for propulsion. Anyway, I'm heading over the bridge, and of course, on this bridge, as you guys probably well know, there's a concrete divider between the north and southbound lanes, right?
Yep.
But there's also a sign, and I'll tell you, this is going to go to the headline of your conclusion. There's a sign on that bridge that appears every so often. I don't know, every maybe 1,000 feet or whatever. And I read it as I'm going by, and I'm going, why is that sign there? That makes absolutely no sense that you'd have a sign there. And the sign said, no U-turns. And my first thought was, where would you make a U-turn? There is no place for a U-turn. There are no cutouts, you know, in the concrete divider. And to that, once you start ULA, there is no going back to ordinary. And I used to say about this radio program, at the end, I'd usually say, okay, and if you've listened to this program, it's too late. Now you have to deal with the information. And when you start this, when you start ULA, you start changing your life.
Yeah, we call that ULA on the brain. And I'll let Troy talk about this, but we call it ULA on the brain, and it's not something that we do on purpose. It's actually something that we fell into ourselves, and once we put it out there in the first book, we really had no idea. When we wrote the first book, you know, we thought we'd sell 47 copies. We had no idea it'd be an international best-selling book, and it'd be all over the world. But really, once you get ULA on the brain, we hear this from people all the time, it just gets on your brain. And you think about it all the time. When you wake up in the morning, you're like, what do I need to do for my ULA today, my ULA life? How do I need to balance my life today? People are wearing ULA hats by the tens of thousands and ULA t-shirts. And about every week, there's 2 to 3 ULA tattoos showing up on social media of people just committing to the ULA life, whether they're tattooing Live ULA on their ankles or on their wrists, or they're tattooing Live ULA right across their knuckles. So it's called ULA on the brain, and it's a new way to look at life. It simplifies life. It pulls life out of the chaos and the craziness that everybody's living in, and you just start to think in those terms of, what do I want from my ULA life?
And what we do, Richard, too, is the same thing you do with this show, is we see in people that they're way more capable than they even realize, and we just challenge them to pull that out. So we just say, hey, you know what? You're designed for greatness and a very specific purpose. And many times you're so busy in the day-to-day clutter of life of going from point A to B to C that you've lost connection to that greatness within you. And if you take the time to step outside of the craziness of life and look at your life in these seven key areas and say, where am I in this moment in my fitness, in my finance, it with my family and go through all seven states, be honest with where you are, and then if you were allowed to dream big, what would that look like in these seven areas? That's step two in this simple three-step process to finding your real life. And then step three, which many people forget, is the actual hustle or the day-to-day action steps you need to take to make sure those dreams become a reality. So that's it. I mean, that's really it, is like three simple steps. And if people do that, that's why we're so motivated. That's why we're on this 1970 bus, is we truly believe that if we're going to heal as a society, and it's going to be from the inside out, it's going to be from us as individuals. It's not going to be some policy thing. It's not going to be some outside-in heal. We as individuals challenge ourselves to become better individuals. And as we do that, we will naturally inspire the people around us. They'll say, hey, what do you have? I want some of that. I'm going to go become a better version of me. Our communities become better, and the world will become better.
Well, I'll tell you, this, it's extraordinary. And I remember when I received the email from your PR person, and I managed to get a chance to chat with her a little bit. I'm just sitting here going, really? Where the hell have these guys been? You know,
on a bus.
That's true, too. But at the same time, it's like, why have I not heard of the ULA life and finding balance in an unbalanced world? How is it that we haven't shared this? And I'm so glad that we're able to do that. What we're going to do right now is share with you folks, and I'm going to let Dave and Troy share about a trip that they are undertaking, and they're coming through the Southern California area. Tell me, gentlemen, where are you going to be and when? And where, if people are interested, might they be able to find you? I believe it's the weekend of June 18th, 17th and 18th, something along those lines, correct?
Yeah, we're currently on, we do this in legs, and this epic leg of our journey started about 4 weeks ago in Deerfield Beach, Florida. So we're truly taking this 70s bus. It doesn't go on a trailer. It's two guys driving it. We're going from Florida. We went all the way up through Nashville and Georgia and New Orleans. Right now we're in Phoenix, and we're working our way up to Denver and Salt Lake City, down to Vegas, and then we're heading your way to Southern California. We will be in Southern California. You can look for the bus on the 20th through the 24th, but specifically we're going to be at the Grove in L.A. For a book signing at Barnes & Noble at 2. And then we have a couple book signings down in San Diego. I believe Mira Mesa and Warwick is what I heard. But if anybody wants to know the specifics on that, you can go to ulalife.com and click events, or else facebook.com/ulalife. And as soon as these events are confirmed, then you'll know the bus will be somewhere. But also, truly just hunt us down. Like, this is a social media-driven trip. And yes, we have places to be, but there's a small town in Colorado we're going to in a few days that dedicated a day to ULA. And the mayor's going to give us some stuff, a police escort into the city. The whole city's coming out. There's a microbrewery who's making an ULA summer ale. I mean, it's just like, we're going to get everyone in that town putting dreams on a bus, and that came out of social media. So if we hear something like that, we're happy to bring the bus to your community and collect your dreams. The other interesting thing, Richard, if you can't see the bus in person, on our mission to collect a million dreams, any of your listeners can go to ulalife.com and submit a dream. And believe it or not, someone from our team and volunteers will take a Sharpie and handwrite your dream, and we will put and be honored to carry your dream on our bus with us if you can't see the bus in person.
I encourage you to check out ulalife.com, click on that events link there, and find out exactly the dates and times. The thing that I like about it, gentlemen, is the fact that you're going to be traversing Southern California and in this area here. Not quite up to Santa Barbara this time, but nonetheless, right around my 57th birthday, and I'm real excited about that because, you know, I don't know if you know it, and maybe you do, and I know you. I have to tell you that I try to stay as humble as possible in the work I'm doing. You know, this isn't about me, and it's not about you. It's collectively all of us working together, and none of us has gotten where we are without the helping hand of others. I can honestly admit that. And the fact of the matter is, the reason why there's an ULA seeker and an Uluguru is because the Seeker, long before this ever started, came across and had a mentor in the Uluguru. Can you tell us, Troy, about that little connection that came about?
Well, Dave can actually maybe speak to it better, but we were buddies, and both, it started back in 1997. Dave, do you want to take over this story? Because you know it better from your perspective. It's interesting.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, 1997, exactly what Troy was saying. I actually interned with Troy. At the time, he wasn't called the Uluguru. He was just called Dr. Troy. And I interned with him, and after my one-year internship, he said he wanted to, he said, let's go to Vegas. And I thought it was purely to celebrate my graduation, my doctorate degree, like this is going to be amazing. And actually, we got to Vegas. He said, it's not to celebrate at all. He said, we're actually going to work on goal setting. And I'm like, that's about the lamest trip to Vegas ever in the history of trips to Vegas. But I'm like, all in, let's work on this goal setting thing. And he took it so serious, like very nerdy, like very serious. And we sat on the floor of the Hard Rock 1997, and he had 3x5 note cards on the floor. And there were 7 stacks of note cards. And they were in these 7 areas of life. And day one in Vegas was we had to know where we are in these 7 areas. Like exactly where you are with your finances, your debt, your giving, your saving, your income, your budgeting, where you are with your family life, where you are as a husband, where you are as a father. All these questions I've never asked myself before. I just lived life. And by the end of day one, it's a little draining, but at the end of day one, I knew where I was in these 7 areas. Like I just finished school. I have a lot of student loan debt. I really don't have a plan for my career. So I need to start working on that. And then day two was, okay, now you know where you are. Day two is now where do you want your life to go? And that's the second step of ULA is you have to start to dream and set goals that are congruent with your dreams to get you to your ULA life. So it's like, what do you want for your fitness? What do you want for your finances? If you could dream big, just dream big. And Troy would literally rip up the 3x5 note card, throw it at me and say, dream bigger, dream bigger, dream bigger. What do you want financially? What do you want for your family? What do you want for your health? What do you want for your faith? And by the end of day two, again, a long day, but by the end of day two, we had where we are in these 7 areas, and we had where we want to go. We had dreams, and we had some goals written down. And then day three was all, how are you going to get there? So now you know where you are and where you want to go. How are you going to get there? How are you going to get to your real life? And it's all the mini goals or the action steps you take every day to get to your real life. And I went home in 1997 for the first time ever with a plan in my hands, like, okay, this is what I want for my life. And I started finding success. I was in my 20s, my mid-20s, and I started finding success in these 7 areas. And we would call each other every 2 weeks to make sure we were on track. We'd get together in the summer to adjust any goals we needed to adjust. And then we'd meet again in December, and we'd work on 1998, work on 1999, work on 2000. And long story short, I found success in all 7 areas in my late 20s. Dr. Troy moved overseas, and we just drifted. You talk about being humble. And it's so crazy when I look back because I thought, man, I'm 28, 29 years old. I have a big house. I'm married. I have 5 kids. I just have it. Like, this is it. Like, there's nothing else left for me to get in my life. There's nothing else for me to do. Like, I hit it. And I would say, like, on the outside, you probably didn't see it. But on the inside, I was definitely not humble about it because I was the first one in my family to get a doctorate degree. Definitely the first one in my family to build a big house and all that. And I just started losing track of what really mattered in my life. And I just started losing direction in my life. And what I did, and this is the start of book one. The start of book one is me tucking my kids in, walking downstairs and sitting on this big sofa and waiting about 20 minutes till they were in bed and then sneaking out, getting into my mom's beat up old Taurus, like $1,500 Taurus, because all my cool cars had been repossessed already at this time. And driving off to a motel where I'd been staying for 3 months. And along the way, calling my sister and just complaining about going through a divorce, losing everything, lost my business. The house is going through foreclosure, and I'm going to end up in bankruptcy. And I'm like early 30s. I'm like, how did all this happen?
Wow.
And I reached out to Dr. Troy after about 3 months living in this motel. And he just said, okay, first of all, he said, I know who you are. I know you. You're a friend of mine. He had no idea any of this was going on. But he said, I just want you to know where you are. It's just where you are. It's not who you are. Mm. You're made for something greater than this. You're made for something better than a motel and a bankruptcy and a foreclosed house.
Absolutely.
And a divorce.
Yeah. Well, I'm going
to
have...
But he said you have to start working on... What was that?
I was going to say, I want to have you continue that after the break. I'm going to keep people in suspense.
Sounds great.
Because I want to hear the other side of it as we continue talking with the ULA guru and the ULA seeker regarding ULA, find balance in an unbalanced world. And in this particular case, this is the latest version for women. It's a wonderful, inspiring stories, gives you all kinds of information. ULAlife.com is the website. We encourage you to go there. All kinds of great stuff, including events, events of like what's going on in Southern California in just about a week or so, latter part of June. So we want you to stay tuned. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are giving you choices and knowledge of those choices, like ULA Life, to help make your dreams come true. Stay tuned. We have more coming up here on the program.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I am here with Dave and Troy, the, yes, we like to call, Troy is the ULA guru, and Dave is the ULA seeker. We were in the middle of the story there where life was just unbelievably fantastic, and then it all went to hell in a handbasket. And so let's pick it up from there where the guru was telling the seeker, I know who you are, and I know where you are.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he said to me. You know, I started to explain my story, and he said, I thought everything in your life was going great. So to hear the story that you're going through a divorce and bankruptcy and losing everything and living in a motel, it took him by surprise, obviously. But then he thought about it, and he was like, I just want you to know that, you know, where you are is just where you are, and it's not who you are. And go back to the principles of ULA. Go back to the process of ULA, which I hadn't done for 7-8 years. And I'm like thinking at that moment, like, why was I so stupid with this? Because if I used the process of ULA in my 20s and I found happiness and success and low stress, why wouldn't I follow that in my 30s? Like, what was I thinking? So the next day I went up into the mountains. I lived in Utah and I went to the mountains. And I sat there with this little black notebook actually sitting right at my desk. I can see it from where I'm sitting right now. And I was looking at this little black notebook, and I started writing, where am I in these 7 areas of 3 simple steps to your life? Where are you? Where do you want to go, and how are you going to get there? And I went through, and I just went, where was I? And I just got real for the first time in years where I was. Like, I'm going through a divorce. We're not reconciling. That is what's happening. So I need to get real with it, and I need to talk to the kids about this, and we need to have a conversation as a family on how we're going to move forward. I'm going through bankruptcy. It's not like, well, I just have a little bit of debt. Like, my business was going under. My house, which has a racquetball court and all the cool stuff, was totally being foreclosed on. Like, everything was just going down. So I got real with where I was, and then I actually jumped to step 2 because I just was just, like, tears in the eyes, sitting in the mountains, like, I want to get my life back as fast as possible because I don't want to live here anymore. And I'm like, where am I? You know, where am I? What do I want for my family? What do I want for my career? What do I want for my fitness? What do I want? And when I got to career, I wrote down on this notebook, I wrote down that I want to be a visionary leader, educator, entertainer, and facilitator of ULA around the world. That's not the first dream I wrote. The first dream was like, I want to start seeing patients again and get a job. And then I was like, you know what? Dr. Troy told me to dream big. What's my big, crazy dream? What would I want? And it was to share ULA. And I just drove down the mountain as fast as I could, got back into cell service, and I called Troy, and I'm like, I see it like clear as day. I want to share ULA. Like, that's what I want to do. And he's like, okay, well, first, you got to get a job, and first, you got to get out of the motel, and first, you got to get a car that actually runs so you can get to work. And he brought me back to reality because dreaming big, he forces me to dream big, then he forces me to come back to the steps that you take towards your journey to ULA. So, and that's exactly what I did. I literally got a job and I started working and started getting my money figured out. And I had a long conversation with the kids about mom and dad are going to go through a divorce. And I had a long conversation with my soon to be ex-wife that we have to take care of our kids no matter what. And we just started this process of getting my ULA back. But I told them that day, I said, if I get my ULA back, we're going to write a book about this someday. Well, about 3 years later, I was at his lake cabin in northern Minnesota, and he said, life's good. And I'm like, it's not exactly where I want it, obviously, but it's so much better. You know, I'm not in a motel anymore. I got a nice place and, you know, a reliable car, and the kids are doing great in school, and, you know, my ex and I are getting along, and I love my job. And he's like, so you made a promise that you're going to share Ula. How do you want to do that? And I literally had no idea. You know, so many people ask this. They're like, I'm writing a book. You know, how do I write a book? And how did you guys do it? And it really started that day in that moment in his lake cabin in northern Minnesota. He was like, start writing it out. And he said at the time, too, he said, I'm not going to come out of retirement. He's like 44 at the time, retired, living in Arizona, living in northern Minnesota in the summers, married 20-some years, and truly living a guru lifestyle. And he goes, I'm not going to come out of retirement, but I'll help you outline it. Well, 3 days later, the book was pretty much done. And it was just guys, like dudes on a road trip, telling stories of their life on one guy, the Ula Guru, how he worked to maintain his Ula, and how the Ula Seeker, my story, how I had it and lost it in my journey on getting it back. And we threw the book out there, and like I said earlier, it hit international bestseller. And people started loving the book and asking for more stuff, like a Facebook page and a Twitter account and Instagram and a website where they can, you know, buy hats and come to classes and a 2-day event. And then the last thing, you know, that the biggest project we've ever worked on in Ula was the Ula for Women's book that we just released. But that's the whole process. That's how I became the Ula Seeker. That's how he became the Ula Guru, is we define these characters in the first book. And it's just two buddies who've lived over 20 years of their life together, and sometimes in different countries. And he has 4 children, I have 5, and all the craziness of life. And it's really that first book is our stories. And the second book, Ula for Women, is all the principles of Ula refined and made better over the last 3-4 years of teaching Ula to people all over the world. And then it's the 42 stories of women, not our stories, but 42 ordinary women who've just done extraordinary things. It's their stories pushed into this book. So you can read the story, be inspired by them and learn from them, and then go to the principles of Ula, because the principles of Ula are the same for men and women. But the stories are there to inspire and to help women relate to what other women are going through.
Well, I'd like to talk to the guru now and ask him, how did all of this start for you? I mean, literally going back even further, what was the catalyst that began you, put you on this particular path that then linked you up with the Seeker?
That's a great question. Firstly, like this guru thing is almost tongue in cheek. When we wrote our first book, we picked out the highlights, like the highlight reel of my life, and we picked out the fail reel of Dave's life, and that's how we became Guru and Seeker. But the reality is I could play my mistakes, my missteps, my failures, and I would quickly become the Seeker. I mean, the reality is I think that's what connects us as people, is sometimes you're doing great financially, sometimes you're struggling, sometimes your marriage and relationships are strong, and sometimes you feel distant and lost. It's almost like guru season and seeker season. So the reality is I'm a seeker just like everyone else. But I think if we go even back before 1997, someone asked us this on the road, and it forced me to reflect on when this all started, like even ahead of that. I remember in 11th grade, I grew up in southern Minnesota, and my dad was working 2 or 3 jobs to provide for us 4 kids. And then my brother's 8 years older than me, and I saw him starting the same path. And I remember saying, you know, I want to win at money and business. That's great. But I also want to win at life. I wanted to redefine what success looked like. And I remember writing down on a notepad in 11th grade that I wanted to be debt-free and retired by age 40. Like, that's a weird thing to write down in 11th grade. But the reality is I never lost sight of that. And that's what I think we're finding on this tour, is people have goals and dreams when they're younger, and that notepad gets buried somewhere in the distance, and pretty soon you can't see it anymore, can't even remember what was written on that pad. So whether it's been in your mind or on a piece of paper, I never lost sight that, you know what, I will work hard, I will hustle, I will build a big business, I will make a bunch of money to set my family up financially, but I'm not going to do that at the expense of relationships, and I'm not going to do that forever. I want to do that until I'm 40, and then I want to travel and do some other cool things. So I think if I really go back and go, where goal setting has been a big part of both of our lives for a long time, but I'd have to go back to 11th grade and that notepad to to see where it started.
Let me thank you so much for taking so much time to share with our audience, and we look forward to the opportunity. I extend this to you, that should you find yourself traveling northbound on the 101 over the Conejo Grade, put it in neutral, and I think you can coast all the way to Santa Barbara. We'd love to have you guys in studio to continue this conversation. There's so much more to talk about. There's no question. We wish you guys all the best.
Well, thank you so much, Richard. And who knows? We love that road through Malibu and up to PCH. You may find us in Santa Barbara on the 21st. Who knows?
And then before I let you go, I have three final questions for each of you, and I'll alternate so that the second one can prepare while the first one is answering. And I'll start with you, Troy. And I'm just, since we are, who is Troy? Who is Troy?
Troy is just a guy who aspires to win at business and life, be a good dad, run a great business, and try to pursue my purpose in life.
And who is Dave?
I'm really, like, seeking my little life, honestly, working at it with people. And when I went through my downturn where I lost everything, I really felt alone. And what I have found that since getting my EULA back and working on getting my EULA back is that there's so many people going through what I went through. So, I mean, working on my EULA life as being a good dad with my kids and all of that, everything I want in my life, but also inspiring other people who are struggling and feel alone that they're not alone and they still have that greatness within them to go get.
And Dave, what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I want to get the EULA bus in the Smithsonian. It's really that simple. No, I'm just kidding. But yes, I do want that. You know, Troy wants to make EULA a word. He's probably going to talk about that. But with EULA, it's really just, I want to collect a million dreams. I want to reach people. I want to change the world with this word.
And Troy, how about you? What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
Super clear. The first sticker we put on the bus, the very first sticker said, change the world with a word. Hashtag EULA. That's it. That simple.
And so, Troy, you get to answer the last question first. What is your life's purpose?
I think it's this. I've had a couple, like three runs at really successful businesses. And when you can retire young, I was blessed to be able to retire young. And then so all of a sudden the decisions you're making are based upon purpose and adding value to the world. I believe sharing EULA is my purpose.
And Dave, what is your life's purpose?
I couldn't agree more. I really believe that this is my life's purpose for sure. But, you know, you don't know where life takes you either in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. But for right now, sharing EULA is just such an amazing gift that we've been given. We call it an obligation, not an opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's an obligation to share it with so many people, and I just love doing it.
Well, Dave, Troy, the guru, the EULA guys, I like that phrase better. It's also easier to say. The EULA guys and their latest endeavor in print as well as I'm sure available in the electronic formats as well. EULA, Find Balance in an Unbalanced World for Women. We encourage you to pick up a copy. Go to EULALife.com and check out all the good stuff, including, again, a reminder that June 22nd at the Los Angeles Barnes & Nobles in the Groves, you can go to EULA. Why do I keep wanting to say that? EULALife.com and go to the events page and scroll on down June 22nd from 2 to 3:30 p.m. And again, gentlemen, thank you so much for so much time and for sharing with us. And we will see you on the road.
All right. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you so much.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal. You know, there's a public service announcement on television that used to run, this was some time ago, and it struck me, and this kind of goes to what you're talking about, Dave, is that, or Roy, Troy, that the opening shot is of this kid. He's playing with his little trucks in the dirt, all right? And he's having a great time moving dirt around and going up this hill and that and the other. And the next shot, the next scene is of an adult. He's wearing a shirt and tie, but he's also wearing a hard hat, and he's at a construction site. He's holding a set of plans in his hand, talking to another guy, pointing this way and that. Next scene, third scene, is a little girl, and she's playing with her dolls, and she's administering some type of aid to the doll as if the doll were ill. And the next scene is a woman who is in scrubs working in an emergency room. And granted, that's more the career aspect, but it goes to the point that you just made about dreams that we have as kids. And there are some dreams that we've even forgotten. I didn't know at the age of, in spite of the fact that in eighth grade, I was to write that, you know, that proverbial, what am I going to be when I grow up paper? And I Yep. went to a local TV station. And again, I didn't have real aspirations about getting into broadcasting. But for some reason, I went to this TV station. I set up an appointment to meet with one of the cast members of a local children's show called, and you may remember this, gentlemen, the Wallace and Ladmo Show. And Pat McMahon, who is a local radio fixture right now in Phoenix on KTAR 620, he played many different characters. And I went into the dressing room and sat there as an eighth grader with a little cassette recorder. And I still remember that the cassette itself was blank and it was black. It was a black case. And I sat there and asked him questions and, of course, wrote the paper and turned it in and so forth. Now, I have a photograph of the two of us taken that day. And that kind of went by the wayside. I get into high school. I don't think anything about it. And it isn't until 1979 that I'm working down in the lower level below the library of the audiovisual department, and I get a call from my counselor saying, hey, there's this job at this closed-circuit radio reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Why don't you check it out? That was my start, and I've been here, you know, in this business ever since. And it took me years of trying to figure out how did I get here? Well, you know, my dad was an appliance repairman, and we had all kinds of, a reel-to-reel and little portable turntable and this and that and the other. And I would play around making just funny radio shows or just playing around and not even realizing until many years later, now I see where that comes from. And sometimes, you remember in 2008, gentlemen, when we had that big economic downturn and thousands of people lost their jobs?
Hey, Dave,
I was one of those people.
Okay.
Dave was a statistic.
Uh-huh. Well, here's what, some people say, well, that's easy for you to say, Richard, what I'm about to say. You have a job. But I used to think, I wonder how many, and I'll bet you it's really high, 90 to 95%. Of those people who lost their jobs, I'll bet you they hated their job. And now here's the opportunity for them to go out and find something. And many of them did. They became entrepreneurs. They started pursuing. I mean, I started seeing some stories in 2009 and 10 in particular about some of these folks who said, you know, hey, okay, so I lost my job in the factory. That's never coming back. I got to do something, so what's it going to hurt if I take a risk and go out and do what I really want to do? Talk about that in relation to ULA.
Well, I think
I would love
to
talk about that. Go ahead, Troy.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
About this.
Go ahead. Take it, Dave.
No, because I talked about this on stage, and it hit a point with me because I talked about this so much on stage. But what happened is when I look at I'm the opposite. I loved my career. I loved patients. I loved it. But in my businesses, always in my clinics, I try to incorporate ULA, like the 7 F's, into like not only patient care, but a wellness approach to patient care. And I never, ever fully launched it because I was so comfortable. You know what I mean? I was making money and I liked my job and I was having fun and I never fully launched it. But I tell people, don't wait till you have to lose everything to go get what you really want. And that's what happened to me is once I lost everything, like clean slate, like turn the chapter, blank page, what do I really want? And I started falling back to old routines, like I'm going to work at the factory. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go start treating patients again. And I said, what do I really want? You know what I want? I want to share ULA. That's what I want. I love ULA. It's helped me so much in my life. I have such a passion for it. I have such a passion for the simplicity of ULA and how much it helps people when they implement it. I'm like, that's what I want to do. But the question in there, the underlying question in there that we talk about from stage is why did I have to lose everything and become 40 years old before starting EULA. Why didn't I start it a long time ago? And I just took the career path that was in front of me. And there's such an opportunity for people. I'm not saying quit your job today and start your dream job. But if you have a dream job, you have something you really want to do in life, and you're not doing it right now, and you're in a job you don't like, don't feel like you have to be stuck there for 40 years either. Like, start making that transition. Maybe it's a one-year or two-year transition to your dream job. And nowadays, I mean, that's so possible more than ever to run a radio show or to sell stuff online or to sell an online company or to move into photography or whatever it is, because you can promote yourself using social media. You can grow if you're good at what you want to do. But that's such an interesting question that you brought up, because, like I said, something we've talked about a lot is, why did it take me losing everything to finally get to the point of doing what I really want to do? And I think a lot of it was like almost fear-based. Like, I don't know if I can actually write. I don't know if I can actually speak on stage. I don't know if I'm going to be really good in an interview. And when you lose everything, you just don't care. You're like, I don't really care. Like, I have nothing left. So there's no fear. Like, it's like, let's just go forward from this point. So I love that you brought that up. I just think it's so interesting to think into your own life on that topic.
Well, and to add to that, it was 2005. I was working for Air America Phoenix AM radio, and a group from a Christian consortium came in to purchase the station. They did purchase it. They then were interviewed by the local newspaper, the Arizona Republican Phoenix Gazette, of which I also delivered papers for when I was a kid. And they were asked, so are you going to change the format? Now, our station in particular in the Air America network was the very first one to break even in the shortest amount of time, and that was 9 months. So these gentlemen say, oh, no, we're not changing the format. I knew that was a lie because I'd worked with these kinds of people before. And February 28th, 2006 was my last day. They changed the format, let everybody go. And my wife called me up March 1st as I'm cleaning out my desk and says, I quit my job too. And it was at that point that we go, well, gee, you know, we probably could find jobs in Phoenix, but we have two dreams. One is to move to the coast, and it didn't necessarily mean Santa Barbara, but she's a native of Santa Barbara, or move to Ireland, which was a long-term project because it takes a lot more than just packing up the kids and moving to Dublin. So we moved to Santa Barbara. And I got to thinking about that, gentlemen. On the one hand, did I have to really wait for us to both lose our jobs? Some people say, yeah, because there's this universal timing. But at the same time, I sit there going, why did I have to wait? All the resources were already there. We could have done it at any time. But it's kind of like you got that nudge, right? You get that nudge from the universe. It says, go!
Exactly. Yeah, what Dave was saying is we're encouraging people to not wait for a nudge or a bottom or a job loss. It's like, why not challenge yourself? I think we settle for comfortable, and I think we settle for average. And our point in these books is, why settle for average when extraordinary is within you? Like, why would you, like, oh, yeah, it's comfortable, it's good. I mean, that's cool, but we, no matter what stage we're in, if we're in a guru season, Dave and I, or people we're working with, if you're in that season and you're doing great, go for better. I mean, use the momentum to take it to the next level. You have amazing abilities to make great change in not only in your own life, but in this world. So rather than, hey, you know, because you guys landed in Santa Barbara, that worked out great. But what about, you know, what about if, hey, are you truly taking that moment and say, am I happy in my career, or did we want to live on the coast? And rather than wait for life happening to you, why don't you take control and say, you know what, let's plan this. Let's start looking for career opportunities that pay more in Santa Barbara. And that's what we encourage people to do. So obviously, if you find bottom, people are looking for answers. That's when people go, you know what, my life sucks. What's this EULA thing? We see a lot of people like that. But the other part in the definition of EULA is a state of awesomeness when your life is not only balanced, but it's growing. So if you happen to be doing good, go for great. If you happen to be doing great, go for amazing. So that's the whole thing, is continually challenging yourself, not in a way that makes you feel bad about yourself, but in a way that empowers you to take it to the next level and go get that.
I'm going to remind our listeners that the EULA Guys and the Soul Affirming EULA Dream Tour. It almost sounds like that magical tour bus I'm trying to think of the song to. It rolls into... What's that?
That's the Beatles.
Oh, that's right. The Beatles. Oh, thank you. Your guys are rolling into Los Angeles to the Barnes & Noble event is The Grove on the 22nd of June, the Ula Dream tour bus, the 1970 VW surf bus. You have surfboards on that thing yet?
Covered in dreams, man. We have surfboards and luggage covered with dreams. All covered with dreams.
By the way, the address of the Barnes & Noble is 189 The Grove Drive, and it's Suite K in Los Angeles. We encourage you to get down there and see these guys and be a part of this incredible thing. Because once you – here's the neat thing, folks. If you've never traveled, your sticker will. And we encourage you to get down there again on the 22nd of June. That's this coming Thursday, and it's at the Barnes & Noble. It's at the event there down in Los Angeles at The Grove. And this is just extraordinary what you guys are doing. Again, I've said this before. Tell me a little bit also. You have another participant in this particular book for women, and it's Janet. Is it Switzer?
Yeah, Janet. Yeah, Janet's written she's written a number of New York Times bestselling books, and when we were challenged and tasked with writing a book specifically for women, I mean, we're like two dudes. It would be 260 empty pages if it's what Dave and I understood about women. But then once we were inspired by the gal we met at the beach in Santa Barbara, we figured it's not going to be our stories. It's going to be women inspiring women. But Janet, she was involved in the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. She also wrote Success Principles with Jack Canfield. And we recruited her, and she has an amazing voice in this story. Honored to be a part of it, and we're just really happy with how the collaboration turned out.
Well, I'm happy too, especially considering the fact that in this past year, three years in this country, you know, the focus has been a great deal on women and becoming empowered. I know that a lot of people were hoping in this last election that maybe we'd have our first female president. That's still up for grabs for anybody who wants to go after it. And there are certainly huge changes. The bus itself, I'm curious. You said that the bus right now is seven layers thick. Has there been any calculation whatsoever, gentlemen, as to how much additional weight those stickers add to the bus?
we talk about that a lot. I mean, it's amazing what we do talk about on the road when you're traveling 55 miles an hour and you have this beautiful windshield in front of you and you're traveling across the country. We have a lot of time to talk and think. But seven layers thick, and it looks just beautiful the way it is. Definitely want to collect more. When people put a dream on the bus or they submit it online at ulalife.com, we calculate, once they submit it, we calculate that. So it's about 30,000 so dreams on the bus right now on our way to a million. But we just launched the online version where people can submit their dreams, and that's really our only way of getting to a million. Now, I'm going to tell you one of my big dreams because I want to throw this out there in the universe like you're talking about.
Please.
But my big dream is to get a million stickers on that bus. And I don't know how it's going to drive. I don't know what the gas mileage will be. I don't know what it's going to weigh. But I know that with a million stickers and people's dreams collectively on that bus, it has a really good chance of getting into the Smithsonian. And that's my dream, is to get this bus in the Smithsonian someday with a million people's dreams from America across it.
Oh, wow.
So that's what I do know. So I don't know what the weight's going to be, but I do know that's what I want to see happen.
That's pretty cool. That really is. Now, in terms of, obviously, one of your dreams there is that, and as a matter of fact, I'm looking right now, it says 30,845, and of course, on your way to a million, and you got a great website here, and you've got all kinds of, you have a store that offers all kinds of different products. You mentioned hats. People are wearing hats, and of course, they're getting tattoos. Now, are people making these, or are these hats and things of this nature also available at the store? Along with, I notice you have one thing that's listed in the book in particular is this thing, essential oils. You know, we're not necessarily turning this into a commercial, but what we do want to do is we want to encourage people to get involved because this is all about, folks, this is all about your dreams.
Yeah, really. What we do in ULA is we let opportunity reveal the path. Like, we actually had, I wore a hat once that we had logoed ULA just for personal use. This was a couple years ago.
And people on social media go, where'd you get the hat? So we started making 10, then 20, then 100, then thousands, then tens of thousands of hats. People want things to remind them. The reason people like the word ULA, it's a cool-looking word, but when we ask people why they like ULA on stuff, whether it's whatever it is, you're talking T-shirts, surfboards, we sell longboards. By looking at the word ULA every day, it reminds you to keep your life in balance. And it reminds you that you're designed for greatness, and why settle for ordinary when extraordinary is within you. So just seeing that word every day reminds you that, like, if you're at work, it's like, be present at work, but then go home at the time you said you'd be home with your kids. And when you're with your kids, be present with your kids and stay connected to your dreams. So people like the word on stuff, but I think the reality is the word has meaning. The word means that I want the goals and dreams that I want for my life, and I'm going to pursue them relentlessly. And that's why I think the store is so popular. In fact, an apparel line broke out of a book. It's just the weirdest thing ever, but we're just creating things that people like to support them as they pursue their ULA life.
Gentlemen, tell me, I love how this is used so many times. Tell me about ULAPalooza.
Well, it's exactly what Troy was talking about. It's like we let opportunity reveal the path. And ULA was a process before it was a book. It was a process that Troy taught me in 1997 that we started doing every year after that for about 6-7 years. When I quit doing the process, I found myself out of ULA. When I started re-tapping into the process, I found myself getting my life back in ULA. And we wrote a book, started social media, and said, what do you guys want? And besides the tens of thousands of hats, we heard over and over and over and over that people want an event. And we're like, well, if we're going to do an event, we're going to do this our way, and we're going to take people back to Vegas, just like we did back in the day at the Hard Rock. We rented the Vinyl Nightclub at the Hard Rock, and we rented the Real World Suite, and we had a blast. But it was fun, but we didn't even know the impact of it during our first ULAPalooza a couple years back. We just thought, let's go set, basically, instead of sitting on the floor, let's sit at really nice tables. Let's have live music, let's have mini donuts, and let's have a really cool venue where we can learn ULA with people, 250 of our closest friends kind of thing. And at the end of day two, when we've all walked through the process of what do you want for these seven areas, where are you, where you want to go, and how are you going to get there, then we take people through the process on day two, which we haven't even had a chance to talk about, is what are called the ULA blockers, the things that get in your way, like fear, guilt, self-sabotage, anger, laziness. How to break through those if that's what's holding you back from your dreams and goals. And then also tapping into the ULA accelerators like gratitude, love, passion, wisdom. We take them this whole two-day process, and then at the end of the process, they have three goals in each of the seven Fs, 21 goals. They narrow it down to seven and not one from each category. It's the seven that's going to bring them most balance in life. And then they're ULA one. Mm. And they write it on a sticker, and they came across stage, the first ULAPalooza, and they slapped this goal, the sticker, on our surfboard, which is on top of the surf bus right now when you ask if it has surfboards on it. It started with a surfboard before the bus. They slapped a sticker on, and they would say in a microphone, they'd say, my name is, and this is my dream, and why I want that, why I want that to happen. Mm. And we thought it was going to be like, I want to go to Paris, and I want to, you know, lose 10 pounds. And in reality, after about an hour, hour and a half of people walking across the stage at ULAPalooza, our first one, we were like emotional wrecks for 2 days. Because it wasn't that. What people realize is, yeah, they want to go to Paris and maybe they want to lose 10 pounds. But the reason they aren't going to Paris and they haven't lost 10 pounds is because they came from a toxic relationship as a child or an abusive relationship. Or right now they're doing stuff they shouldn't do with drugs or alcohol. Or they're dealing with adult children that are 27 years old living in their house and it's tearing apart their marriage. So most of the dreams that were on that first surfboard were very deep dreams. And people said, this is what I want for my life, but I can't get there unless I get through this one main goal, this ULA one, and this is what I need to commit to. And that's really, we left that event, and we talked 5 times a day. I don't think we talked for 2 days, just because we were just emotionally drained. And we're like, well, first of all, we need to do more of these. We need to do more of these. And this is an event we do every year now in Las Vegas. And then he said, Troy said at the time, we also need to take this message to the people somehow. And at the time, we didn't know how. We just said, we need to take it to small communities because the ULAPalooza experience is such a valuable experience to help people break through whatever's holding them back from their ULA life. Mm. And we need to take it to and that's where the bus, that was the birth of the bus. Troy called me like 4 or 5 months later, 6 months later. I was overseas at the time with my kids. And he said, you know what? These surfboards and the ULAPalooza surfboards that I hold dearly, like I have them at my place with all people's dreams on them, we need to put them on top of a surf bus and go town to town, city to city. And we need to collect dreams. And this comes from a guy, you know, he's all like, well, if I just told all my highlights in the first book, this comes from a guy who's truly living ULA in so many ways, but it comes from a guy who's fully retired. Like, he doesn't need to be on the road in no air conditioning, no heat, 55 miles an hour, going to shop at a coffee shop, collecting dreams. He doesn't need to speak. He doesn't need to be on this interview right now. He's fully financially secure, and he's got a beautiful family and living his ULA life. But he sees what this does to people, and that's so cool and unique in today's day and age to basically do something that he doesn't need to do, because it really truly benefits humanity and it benefits the world. And we always talk about on stage, and he closes at the end of our talk a lot with, our mission is to change the world with the word, you know, and then the word is ULA. And we do that together by simply making ourselves better. So if Dave makes himself better, I make myself better. And if you make yourself better, Richard, and everyone listening makes himself better, the world becomes better and you inspire those around you. And that's truly like the heart of Lulapalooza, is just helping people break through all that crap that they just can't see themselves, that beauty that's inside of them they can't even see, and realizing that and going to get their ULA life.
ULA is a noun and an adjective. It's derived from the expression ulala. It's also a state of awesomeness, a life that is balanced and growing in the key areas of health, finance, career, relationships, and well-being. It's a destination, i.e. getting to ULA. Sounds a little bit like Valhalla, but anyway, it's describing actions, insights, and goals that lead to a balanced life. That's so ULA, and the ultimate plan for achieving balance in an unbalanced world. And if I may, gentlemen, I may be a little presumptuous here, but it sounds a little bit like you're starting a little bit of a religion here, where you're going to be erecting VW bus-shaped churches with surfboards for steeples. Hallelujah, or I should say, ULA. A lot of people would probably get a little confused in that regard. They would think, oh my gosh, these guys are talking like this is the end all and be all. And
no, and not at all. this is just people becoming better versions of themselves with a simple plan to do that. I mean, it is the cool thing about ULA is we're not telling people anything. We're not, if you read any of our books, you'll see in our books, we're not telling people how to live. We're just saying you're designed for something amazing and you have a unique purpose within you. Go get that, whatever that is for you. If we were in Oklahoma, and I know we're wrapping up here, but we were talking about this, like, you be you, your goals and dreams are unique to you. And a lady jumps out of a big crowd and goes, I want to be a goat farmer. We're like, cool, because pretty much no one else wants to be a goat farmer. It's like, we're like, you be you, like, authentically what that is. Even faith is one of the F's. Like, whatever you believe, you believe. We just encourage you to boldly pursue the goals and dreams you have for your life.
In a manner of speaking, if I'll paraphrase this, go where you've never gone before.
There you go.
And explore. Take more than 5 years, though. Take the rest of your life to do that. ULA, find balance in an unbalanced world. Once again, they are going to be in Los Angeles, and they're going to be there on the 22nd of June. They're going to be at a bookstore, Barnes & Noble, in the Grove from 2 to 3:30. They'll be answering questions. There'll be a Q&A and so forth, book signing, the whole shebang. I'm sure you'll have all kinds of paraphernalia as well. And get a chance to meet these guys and wish them well on their journey, safe journey, to say the very least. Although, I don't know, you can't really be too unsafe when you can only go 45 to 55 miles an hour, max speed. I'm sure that there are folks who are on the highways when they see you, and they'll probably give you a second glance and give you a wide berth.
That's for sure.
Very, very good. Well, gentlemen, first of all, let me thank you so much for taking so much time to share with our audience, and we look forward to the opportunity. I extend this to you, that should you find yourself traveling northbound on the 101 over the Conejo Grade, put it in neutral, and I think you can coast all the way to Santa Barbara. We'd love to have you guys in studio to continue this conversation. This is There's so much more to talk about. There's no question. We wish you guys all the best.
Well, thank you so much, Richard. And who knows? We love that road through Malibu and up the PCH. You may find us in Santa Barbara on the 21st. Who knows?
And then before I let you go, I have three final questions for each of you, and I'll alternate so that the second one can prepare while the first one is answering. And I'll start with you, Troy. And I'm just, since we are who is Troy?
Who is Troy?
Who is Troy?
Troy is just a guy who aspires to win at business and life, be a good dad, run a great business, and try to pursue my purpose in life.
And who is Dave?
I'm really, like, seeking my little life, honestly, working at it with people. And when I went through my downturn where I lost everything, I really felt alone. And what I have found that since getting my EULA back and working on getting my EULA back is that there's so many people going through what I went through. So, I mean, working on my EULA life as being a good dad with my kids and all of that, everything I want in my life, but also inspiring other people who are struggling and feel alone that they're not alone and they still have that greatness within them to go get.
And Dave, what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I want to get the EULA bus in the Smithsonian. It's really that simple. No, I'm just kidding. But yes, I do want that. You know, Troy wants to make EULA a word. He's probably going to talk about that. But with EULA, it's really just I want to collect a million dreams. I want to reach people. I want to change the world with this word.
And Troy, how about you? What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
Super clear. The first sticker we put on the bus, the very first sticker said, change the world with a word, hashtag EULA. That's it. That simple. Mm.
And so, Troy, you get to answer the last question first. What is your life's purpose?
I think it's this. I've had a couple, like three runs at really successful businesses. And when you can retire young, I was blessed to be able to retire young. And then, so all of a sudden, the decisions you're making are based upon purpose and adding value to the world. I believe sharing EULA is my purpose.
And Dave, what is your life's purpose?
I couldn't agree more. I really believe that this is my life's purpose for sure. But, you know, you don't know where life takes you either in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. But for right now, sharing EULA is just such an amazing gift that we've been given. We call it an obligation, not an opportunity. It's an obligation to share it with so many people, and I just love doing it.
Well, Dave, Troy, the guru, the EULA guys, I like that phrase better. It's also easier to say. The EULA guys and their latest endeavor in print as well as, I'm sure, available in the electronic formats as well. EULA, Find Balance In. EULA, Find Balance In, An Unbalanced World for Women. We encourage you to pick up a copy. Go to EULALife.com and check out all the good stuff, including, again, a reminder that June 22nd at the Los Angeles Barnes & Nobles in the Groves, you can go to EULA. Why do I keep wanting to say that? EULALife.com and go to the events page and scroll on down June 22nd from 2 to 3:30 p.m. And again, gentlemen, thank you so much for so much time and for sharing with us. And we will see you on the road.
All right. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you so much.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.